The scripture reading this morning will be Psalm 51. And you may want to just listen as I read Psalm 51. If you may want to turn to Psalm 51 as I read. A prayer for restoration. For the choir director, a Davidic psalm, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone to Bathsheba. Be gracious to me, God, according to your faithful love, according to your abundant compassion. Blot out my rebellion. Wash away my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. For I am conscious of my rebellion, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you alone, I have sinned and done this evil in your sight. So you are right when you pass sentence. You are blameless when you judge. Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me. Surely you desire integrity in the inner self, and you teach me wisdom deep within. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Turn your face away from my sins and blot out all my guilt. God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation to me and give me a willing spirit. Then I will teach the rebellious your ways, and sinners will return to you. Save me from the guilt of bloodshed, God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not want a sacrifice, or I would give it. You are not pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. God, you will not despise a broken and humbled heart. In your good pleasure, cause Zion to prosper. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. And may God add his blessing to that reading of his word.
So please keep that reference open there for you. We've been talking about the attributes of God. And we've been talking about the importance for us to be what Isaiah calls the Lord's remembrancers. And a remembrancer, by Webster's definition, is someone that reminds. One that reminds someone or somebody about something. And we're going to relate this, the Lord's attributes, God's attributes, to repentance and to prayer. Do you know the Lord's attributes? Remember Hosea? Yes, Dave?
Righteousness. Oh, I put that spot. Justice.
Justice.
Compassion.
Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Those are the attributes of God. Righteousness, justice, love, compassion, and faithfulness. And Hosea says, when he describes those attributes of God, God says through Hosea, I'm going to marry you. I'm going to be in such an intimate, loving relationship with you and us with God that we become saturated with those attributes. We know those attributes. God says through Hosea, the only way you're going to get to know who I am is when you are in that kind of relationship with me. And then you become saturated with those attributes. And thus saturated with those attributes, you go out into the world, as Liz and Tad sang in their special today, salt and light. You go out and you project those attributes. And we know that the problem that Israel got into, we know that the trouble that they were in was that they forgot, they abandoned, and they ignored the attributes of God. And when they did that, not only did they not project those attributes into the world, two things happened to them. Number one, they stopped repenting. And number two, they stopped praying. And as a result, the land suffered. The country suffered. The country didn't know God. Instead of knowing God, they knew bloodshed. And so it is so important on us as God's people to understand and know the attributes of God. And I would invite you to rehearse them. And I can see that some of you have rehearsed those attributes. And we soak ourselves in those attributes. And how that bleeds into repentance and prayer is significant, highly significant, and interesting. One of my favorite movies is Cool Hand Luke. And Cool Hand Luke is played by Paul Newman. And this is a young man, Paul Newman portrays this young man who just never really got things going in his life. And he was arrested for stealing money out of parking meters. And so he was arrested for that. He's sent to a horrific prison camp in the swamps of Florida or Louisiana, I think it was. And the whole movie is about Luke trying to negotiate this prison camp and trying to escape from this prison camp. And finally, he does escape. And he takes refuge in a church. If it's at night, he takes refuge in an abandoned church. And while he's in this church, see, Luke didn't know the attributes of God. And let me tell you, the effectiveness of our praying is absolutely dependent on you knowing the attributes of God. Because do you pray like this? Here's how Luke prayed. He's in the church. It's night. He's being pursued by the police. And he looks up at the cross at this empty church. And he calls God, old man. And he says, hey, old man. Are you up there? Are you listening to me? And then he said, I've never really paid much attention to you, but I need your help right now. I need you to get me out of this mess. He finishes the prayer, and he looks out the window, and the police have surrounded the church. Sirens and lights are flashing, and then he makes this telling statement. No, that's a great line in there. That's a great line. What we have here is failure to communicate. I see Ellis, you like that movie too. No, he says, no, it's not that, Ellis. He says, he looks up at the cross again, and he says, that's exactly the kind of answer I would have expected from you. In other words, he was then going to be captured. When you pray, what are your expectations? And our expectations of our prayer is based entirely upon one thing: His attributes. His attributes. Now, Teresa just read the 51st Psalm from David. And this is David's prayer. It's a prayer of repentance that he had just committed a horrific sin. David had just plotted, premeditated murder of an innocent man so that David's life would be more convenient. And he writes this great 51st Psalm of repentance. And clearly in this prayer, in this repentance, we see that David has expectations. Your prayers are cloaked in your expectations. And somehow, some way, Those expectations either fuel the efficiency of that prayer or they undermine the efficiency of that prayer. Our standing, I got 3 points that I think that you might want to jot down because these are really important. Number one, our standing with God is dependent on His attributes. That's number one. And that is so different than how we think, isn't it? How humans think. Because someone's standing with me or someone's standing with you is dependent on their attributes, isn't it? If someone has some admirable attributes, their standing with me is going to be good. And their standing with you is going to be good. But we serve a God that our standing with Him is dependent on His attributes. That's number one. Number two, our access to those attributes, righteousness, justice, love, compassion, faithfulness. I want access to those attributes, don't you? I want to plug into those attributes. I want those attributes to shower down on my life. And my access and your access to those attributes is dependent on, what are the two things God responds to? The only two things God responds to? The only two things? That's right. Prayer and repentance. That's all. God responds to just prayer and repentance. And my access and your access to those attributes that we just rehearsed are dependent on your prayer and your repentance. And then number three, our repentance and our prayer, and here's where you want to perk up your ears. This is life-changing. Our repentance and our prayer is dependent on our knowing His attributes. Our knowing the attributes. You see, Luke, Cool Hand Luke, was praying to a God that didn't exist. You see that? He's praying to a God that he made instead of the God that made him. We must know the attributes, the one to whom we're praying. And when we do that, our prayers are effective, our prayers are confident, and our prayers are pleasing to God. And now we look at David's prayer. Let's see if David's prayer follows this. Number one, our standing with God is based and dependent on His attributes. Isn't that wonderful? Number two, our access to those attributes is dependent on our repentance and our praying. And number three, our praying and our repentance is dependent on knowing the attributes of God, knowing them. Here's David, Psalm 51, verse 1. Be gracious to me, God. Why? According to your faithful love, according to your attribute, and then according to your abundant compassion. What is David doing here to God? You are a Lord's remembrancer. You're God's remembrancer. Hosea says that. Isaiah says, you are the Lord's remembrancer. In other words, when we pray and when we know the attributes of God, hey, I want you to try this week. I want you to try this. Remind God of His attributes. The Psalms are filled with prayers where God's people are reminding God of His attributes. Do we really need to do that? Does God forget who he is? Do we need to remind God, this is who you are, this is what you are? Yes, yes, God says, that is pleasing to him. It shows him something about us. And here's David asking for God to be gracious to him, and God, I'm asking you to be gracious to me, and it's according to your love, and it's according to your compassion. It is not my attributes. David is asking for right standing with God based on God's attributes, not David's, and not yours, and not mine. Give up on that dead end. Look at David's attributes. Blot out my rebellion. David says, I'm a rebel. Wash away my guilt. David says, I'm guilty. Cleanse me from my sin. David puts God's attributes there. Then David lists his own attributes, rebellion, guilt, and sin. Standing with God. This is good news, isn't it? This is exciting news. Our standing with God is dependent on his attributes, not ours. Because we have no attributes to bring to him that he will admire. And our access to those attributes are based on your repentance and you're praying. And your repentance and your praying is dependent on knowing the attributes, because your expectations in prayer will be answered. Did you hear that? My expectations in praying are based upon the attributes of God. And because I know that God is righteous and he is just and he is loving and he is compassionate and he is faithful, because I know those are his attributes, my expectations then, when I beseech God and when I come to the throne of God, my expectations are that those attributes will kick in into my situation, into my comings and goings day by day in life. I need those attributes to come into my day-to-day life. And the only way I can access them is when I live in a state of, watch this, a state of repentance. And when I live in a state of prayer, and in that state of repentance and prayer, I become the Lord's remembrancer like David. I'm reminding God, try that. Remind God of who he is. Remind God of his attributes. And you say to God when you pray, like David does here, I am demanding that you bring your attributes to bear into my situation, God. And I need you to bring that to bear today. Hopeful? Why repent? And why pray? Why repent and why pray? And to me, the world is divided up into two camps. There is the camp that those who do repent and pray, and there is the camp those who don't repent and pray. That is the division in the world, and it is based upon either knowing or not knowing the attributes of God. Now I want you to turn to Hebrews 11:6, please, to understand this. And some of you have the handout sheets. They would be on there. If not, please turn to Hebrews 11:6 so that we understand this. I'm going to pray right now that I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to make this clear. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to open your ears and your hearts right now to understand Hebrews 11:6, to understand our standing with God based on his attributes. Hebrews 11:6. Why repent? Why bother? Why pray? Why bother? You see, that's what Luke thought. Why bother? Why pray to this God who obviously is not going to answer my prayer? Because I don't know his attributes. So I'm investing my prayer with doubt immediately. And you know what that is? That shows God something about me.
The author of Hebrews, verse 6, chapter 11, now. And this sidebar before we go into that verse, this is one of the most significant verses in Scripture, in my opinion. This is one of those verses that can just rock your world if you grasp what this means and what the author is saying here. Now, without faith, it's impossible. It's impossible to please God. Faith in what? Faith in his attributes. Faith in his characteristics. That's what pleases God. I know my wife's attributes. I know her characteristics. Therefore, I know, based on those attributes and characteristics, I know how she is going to react when I come to her with a question or a request. I already know, because I know her attributes. You come to God in prayer, and you already know how he's going to respond, because you know his attributes. And that is the faith that this author is talking about. We always talk about faith all the time. We talk about that our prayers have to be invested with faith. And yes, that's true. But faith in what? Faith that God is going to do what we want? No, faith in the attributes of the one that you're coming to. We know who this is. We know what he's like. And therefore, we can have this expectation in our praying. Tracking? Now, without faith in his attributes, it's impossible to please God. What pleases God? Why would it please God that I have faith in his attributes? Does he need my approval? Does God need me to remind him of who he is? It shows God something about you. Shows God a changed heart. It shows God that you know who he is, you know who you are, and you know the positions of both. For the one. Now, I want you to read this verse differently. I want you to listen to the cadence when I read this verse. You could read it this way. For the one who draws near him must believe that he exists and rewards those who seek him. Flat. That's one cadence. Here's the cadence. For the one who draws near to him must believe something. When I draw near to him, I must believe something, else I wouldn't draw near to him. Are you getting this nuance? Oh, well, he's drawing near to God. Well, then that shows that he must. He must know that that God exists, and it shows that he knows God is going to reward that. Do you have expectations of reward when you pray, when you draw near to God? This has been something that has been important in my life. And my wife helped me with this, because there was a time when I was not certain that God was involved in my day-to-day to-ing and fro-ing and coming and going. There was a time when I wasn't certain about that. And then I realized the intense monitoring that God does of every single thought and action that goes on in my life, and how God is so concerned with everything that goes on in my life. Do you draw near to God? Well, if you do draw near to God, well, then you must. It shows that you must believe that he exists, and it also shows that you must believe that he rewards those who approach him. Otherwise, you wouldn't draw near to him. I'm not going to draw near to a God who has attributes that are capricious. He is not a Roman mythological God that has to be placated and who is capricious and who can change on a dime. If you know anything about mythology, which I happen to know, I'm out of my depth with Ellen and Nathan, I know that, but I'll go ahead and try this. The Roman and Greek gods in their worlds were so capricious. They would act one way one day, they would act another way the next day, and they never knew who they were approaching. I don't know who he is today. You know people like that, right? I don't know what kind of mood they're in today, but I gotta go into work. Sandy probably thinks that when she comes into work for me. I don't know what Tim's going to be like today, but no, she said, thank you. But do you see what I'm saying? You're dealing with someone that's mercurial, that is one way today, one way tomorrow. You kind of hesitate, don't you, to draw near to them because you don't know what you're going to expect. I had a conversation with someone in my family about this. And I, several years ago, and I said to him, it's like, well, why don't you call me? Why don't you get together with me? Why don't you? And I said, I'll tell you why exactly. I never know what to expect when I contact you. I could get my head ripped off. And so I tend to avoid that, don't you? You see, this is the essence of this verse, Hebrews 11:6. And I think this is coming across. I have the feeling that you're getting this. And that makes me feel confident. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit's doing this. You see, the only reason, the author says, the only reason you would draw near to God is because you know him. Because you know you're not going to get your head ripped off. Because you know that he exists. Who's he? He, the one who has these attributes. Don't worry about approaching God. Don't worry that he's going to be one way today and one way tomorrow. He cannot deny himself. He cannot change. These are his attributes: righteous, justice, love, compassion, and faithfulness, and that ain't going away. And so the author here says, well, you're drawing near to him. So you must believe these things, Tim. You must believe that kind of God exists. You see, that's why people don't pray, and that's why people don't repent, because they don't believe in a God that could be that way. They don't believe that there could be a God with those attributes. And so their prayers are tinged with their expectations. And their expectations, in their case, become reality. You see, Luke's prayer, tinged with doubt, Luke's prayer, because he didn't know the attributes of God, had already been answered before it left his lips. You want your prayers to be effective? You want your prayers to be confident? You want your prayers to be pleasing to God? Learn his attributes. It pleases God. Have faith in those attributes. It pleases him. Rosebud, my granddaughter. Yes, and Elena. I'm not letting Elena out, but I'm bringing out Rosebud because in this particular everyone thinks I favor her. Everyone thinks I favor Rosebud. How crazy is that? So anyway, Rosebud knows my attributes. She knows them. She knows what to expect when she comes to me with a request. She knows. She doesn't hesitate to make a request. She doesn't hesitate to draw near to me. She knows I'm not going to change. Do you see this? This is You know what? That's pleasing to me. I like that. God likes that. If you draw near to him, the author says, there you are. That says something about that person. That says, well, they know that the God of those attributes exists, number one, and they also know that that God of those attributes is going to reward that prayer. I think prayer is the most overlooked, underutilized force in the church and in our individual private lives. And I'll tell you why I know that. Because for me, it is the one thing among many, but it is the one thing I think that the enemy tries to interfere with the most. How about your experience? Do you have a pretty disciplined prayer life? You find it easy? Set the time aside to get alone with God, to draw near to him and all that that entails? Do you find that something that just naturally occurs for you day to day? Listen, the enemy is aware of this also. The enemy knows that God rewards those who draw near to him based on their knowledge of his attributes. And the enemy knows that our standing with God is based on our accessing those attributes. And so the enemy does everything he can in my life to interfere with my prayer discipline. How about you? I want to be pleasing to God. I want my prayers to go to the one. Listen, if I don't know the attributes of God and you don't know the attributes of God, you're not going to repent and you're not going to pray. Why? Because you don't know how this God, this God is going to react today. What kind of a mood is he in today? So therefore, I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to protect myself from being rejected. I'm not going to repent, and I'm not going to pray. Why bother? Because God is not recalcitrant. God does not waver. God does not change. Joel 2:12-13. Even now, this is the Lord's declaration. Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Tear your hearts, not just your clothes, and return to the Lord your God. Why? Joel answers it. Joel 2:13. Here's why. For he is gracious and compassionate. Look at these attributes. Slow to anger, rich in faithful love, and he relents from sending disaster. Why repent? Why pray? For he's gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, rich in faithful love, and he relents from sending disaster. I heard Walter Brueggemann speak, Teresa's favorite Old Testament scholar. I heard him speak down at Nazarene University, Mount Vernon. And he made a statement in there, which Teresa and I say, or Teresa says it, and we say it to each other all the time. He said that we can impinge on God. How about that? What power do you have? We can impinge on God through our repentance and through our prayer. Joel says here, you can change. God was intending to send disaster. You can impinge on him, and you can change that. Powerful? You can impinge on the Creator Covenant God. You see, if I don't know that about God, just get this as takeaway today. If I don't know the attributes of God, then I won't do this. I won't turn to Him. I won't tear my heart, not just my clothes. I won't be mourning. I won't be repentant. I won't be prayerful. David, he knew this, and therefore he did that. See it? If I don't know this about God, I won't do that. The world is divided into those who know the attributes of God and those who don't. And trickle down from that on both sides, those who don't know the attributes of God do not repent and do not pray. Those who do know the attributes of God do repent and do pray. And it is ancient Israel played out over and over again. He does not change. He cannot deny himself. He does not waver. You always know what to expect when you approach this God. Every single time. Now, without faith in his attributes, it's impossible to please God. For the one who draws near to him, well, they must believe. They must believe that he exists, and they must believe that he rewards those who seek him. Let's pray. Bless these words, Holy Spirit, with your conviction. Amen.